Good evening and welcome to Your Home Group. I'm John Jester, and tonight is going to be a great night. I'm telling you, right before we went live, we were just talking about how awesome tonight's going to be. And speaking of awesome, I'm joined with some pretty awesome people this evening. Right here on my right is Cynthia. Good evening.
Good evening.
How you doing?
Everybody.
Oh, y'all know it's going to be good. Cynthia is revved up and ready to go.
We have
Stephen Shelton, Pastor Stephen Shelton, Young Adults Pastor at Eagle Mountain International Church.
Hey, it's going to be a good night, man. I'm excited. Yeah. Before you go on the air, the Spirit's already moving.
That's right.
You have unction. You know it's going to be a good night.
You get a word.
So let's do it. Let's do this thing. I'm ready.
And Dale Mock. Dale, how you doing?
I'm doing great.
What's going on, man?
What's going on with me?
Yeah.
The Lord is working in my life.
Is he downloading?
He's downloading. The more you stay in the Word, the more you're renewed, built up, and you go to a different level.
Well,
so we're constantly changing, aren't we, John?
That's absolutely right. And we have the most important person here tonight, and that's you.
This
program works because of you. I have the trusty Home Group iPad right here in my hand, and we're ready to take your questions and your comments. So please feel free to send them in. You can comment if you're watching us on Facebook, on the Victory Facebook. You can comment below, and we'll get those comments. We'll get those questions. Or you can text us your question to 682-302-1301. 682-302-1301. I got to make my mouth operate correctly. Or you can email us, send your question to askhomegroup@govictory.com. That is askhomegroup@govictory.com. And we also want to make sure that you're aware that our prayer line is always available to you. You can call anytime for prayer. Our prayer ministers are standing by. That number is 877-281-6297. Tonight's going to be interesting because our people, the people who watch the program, have sent in words that they have that are markers for them for 2020. And you know, y'all know what the number one word has been?
Tell me.
Reset.
Reset. Mm.
Reset.
Yeah. Reset. Reset.
You know what that makes me think of?
What's that?
You know when you're younger and you're playing video games and you start out playing the game and something goes wrong? You're like, oh, no, man, reset it.
Stephen, are you old enough to remember when you used to have to blow into the cartridge?
Absolutely.
Just saying.
But you know when you started on a game and you started, you know, it's Mario or it's whatever, and you lose and you're like, oh, man, we got to start over. Reset it.
Yeah.
Reset it. And I keep thinking about something isn't going the way maybe I thought it was going to be.
Right.
Let's take this back to the basics. Let's take this back to the beginning.
Right.
And do this thing from the top the way we know
that's
it can be done.
That's absolutely right.
In a place of excellence.
Right.
And I think about that word reset. I've been thinking about, you know, that little old Nintendo I had where you just had to double click that button and it came back to the start.
That's right.
So when something messes up, hit that reset button.
This is what we were talking about earlier, because when we came in here, you were talking about reset. And so we're like, where's that in Scripture? Where's that in Scripture, right?
Uh-huh.
So we said, well, let's look up a synonym for reset. And what did we get, John? We got the word
renew. That's right.
So when we think about redemption, this is redemption. That means to go back to the very original intent. Like you said, start from the beginning. So that's what Christ has done for us, John. Mm-hmm. He has taken us all the way back to the very beginning and said, you are completely new. You are completely clean. You're completely pure. Mm-hmm. You are complete in me. So we have been reset.
Yeah.
And I'm constantly resetting and renewing my mind to that thought.
Yeah.
Now, Cynthia, you have to use your faith to reset.
You do. You have to use your faith to do anything.
That's absolutely right.
Everything takes faith.
There's nothing that doesn't
take faith. That doesn't take faith, because if it's not faith, it's going to be fear.
Well, right.
So there's nothing in between.
Right.
So you have to use your faith to reset. Right now, we're at that time in the world. The whole world is resetting. The whole world.
Mm.
Everything is totally different.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can't leave the house without, you know, your trusty little mask and all those kinds of things. But beyond all of that, what is the resetting that's going on at home? Because we've been home. We've been kind of locked down. You have a chance to reset the way you look at things, the way you're processing things, resetting yourself in the Word.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Getting back in that word and resetting, like my word last week, foundations.
Yes.
Reset those foundations. Yeah. Shore up the foundation. Yeah. We talked about that, about the house being built on a sure foundation. Mm-hmm. Because if your house isn't built, you just got into a house. Mm-hmm. But if your foundation wasn't good, doesn't matter how pretty all this is up here.
Oh, yeah. Okay. It won't stand.
It won't stand. You'll see cracks in the wall. You'll see cracks in the floor. And then you're going to have a problem.
Yeah.
So the foundation, we're in the place of resetting our foundation.
Yeah. That's Amen. So good.
You know, Hank Kuhneman gave a powerful word concerning resetting, concerning what this season is for resetting. I want to play this clip for you. This is a word from the Lord through Hank Kuhneman about this season that we're in and divine reset. Take a look at this.
For there will be manifestations that you will see that will be so obvious, because the homes you've gathered, the stadiums have been emptied, the schools have been emptied, the workplace has been empty, the church house has been empty, because God says you are in a time of divine reversal and reset, like I did with Hezekiah. I brought a divine reversal and I brought a reset. And this is my word to my people and to those in the earth today. Get ready, for what will be returning and reset shall be, I'll take those stadiums that are empty. I will take the schools that have been empty. I will even take the government places that have been empty. I'll even take the workplaces and the streets that have been empty, and I'll fill it with my glory. And there'll be mass gatherings of people across this nation, the United States, and the nations of the earth. And they shall say, and you will hear them say, great is our God. And it'll sweep across the land. But they will say, out of their own mouth, Yeshua, Yeshua, Jesus is Lord. This is not a time to be afraid, but it's a time to watch and see that the Lord is good, and his mercy has come at this time, and it shall be brought forth with the manifestation of great glory, says the Spirit of grace.
Amen. You know what I love so much about that? He said, you'll hear out of their mouths that Jesus is Lord. Yeah. That is a reset.
That is
the Because that's not
reset.
What you hear in the world. That's right. You don't hear the world say that very often. You know, the Lord gave you a word that goes right along with this, Dale.
So when, you know, before the broadcast, we start talking about our words and things like that. And we don't like always give out the word that we've got. You know what I mean?
So, yeah, especially you.
You want to pop it out.
Yeah.
You
want it to be a surprise.
So, now, I'll act surprised. I'm ready.
So this is the word that the Lord has given me, or where I've been living. So I've been living in 1 Peter, 2 Peter, the letters of Peter. And so what I do is I get in the Word. I get in the Word and I read until a word quickens me. That's a living word to me. And it brings about contemplation. It brings about meditation that wants me to drive deeper into it, Stephen. Yeah. So I was reading the other morning. I encourage you to get up and read in the mornings. All right. Start your day out right. If I can, I'll give you a word. There's a word. There's some direction for you.
Hallelujah.
So here's the ultimate reset here. It says, as newborn babes. Now that's going all the way back.
That's a real reset.
That's a serious reset. Mm-hmm. As newborn babes. So what that does is that caused me to go and study newborn babes.
Yeah.
I got online and started studying newborn babes. So we'll read this, but this is all in context, right? And to newborn babes. Keep this in your, use that filter as we read this, okay? Desire the sincere milk of the word. This is 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, all right? That ye may grow hereby. So reset does what? Makes you grow.
Uh-huh.
Good.
So you're going to grow from resetting. Mm-hmm. You're going to. So the purpose of this word is my growth, right? So I'm going to grow by using this milk. I'm going to use this milk word. Yeah. You know, mm-hmm. It says this. So ye may have. Let's see. Here we go again. That ye may grow thereby. If so be having, you've tasted the Lord's graciousness. Mm-hmm. So this milk, its flavor is grace.
Wow.
Its flavor is grace. So when you study a newborn child, because it has to do with taste, right?
Yeah.
So we're tasting. So we studied tasting of a newborn baby.
Uh-huh.
So the newborn baby, he tastes things that are sweet first.
Wow.
His sensitivity is in sweetness.
Wow. Uh-huh.
And so he is automatically drawn to the goodness.
Yeah, taste and see.
Taste.
Yeah, that the Lord is good.
And it's
good.
And it's in your mouth. But what's the purpose of this tasting of this? Well, the second sensory area is sight. So in a newborn babe, he's nearsighted.
Right.
So he only sees his mother, or he only sees the one that's producing the milk, right?
Right.
If you ever seen a kid that's hungry and needs milk,
I see several of them every day.
Right. So it says, act like this. Be this child that is so hungry for this sweet word. And it's a great tasting word that makes you grow. Mm-hmm. So this word is also, reset is about development. So if you,
that's true.
So what is milk for?
Yeah, it's for development.
It's for development, but develops your teeth first, John.
Uh-huh.
And it
develops. So that you can eat more than just milk.
Right. So, and then it develops your bones. So it develops your skeletal, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the first development that you have in Stephen, all you guys, is you start producing teeth next.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
And you call those baby teeth, or you might even call those the next thing after milk teeth.
Right.
And you're moving into meat. You're starting to nibble on meat and things like that. But then later, as you get older, your next development is you lose those teeth.
So reset leads to maturity.
Leads to maturity. Then then about 13, right? In that age group, 10 to 13, you get your permanent teeth that you're going to have the rest of your life that you're going to eat with. So we move from milk into meat. But I would say this with this scripture, it's saying always live in that sense, because you can drink milk and eat meat at the same time.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm.
Right. So me, I'm constantly resetting with the goodness of God.
That's right.
I'm constantly going, the Lord is good. And based on this grace toward me, it moves me into righteousness, which is development in your position as an adult with adult teeth. So
glory to God.
So when I think about this, I always go to Pastor George about bulldog faith.
Uh-huh.
So I was thinking about the bulldog. He was born, he had no teeth. Then he got baby teeth.
Uh-huh.
And then he got full grown teeth.
Right.
So you'll see Pastor George take that Bible and bite into it, right?
Yeah, he does.
So if you were an old bulldog and had no teeth, you could have great jaws, but you have nothing to bite with.
That's right.
So this milk is designed to develop teeth in you.
That's right.
You're going to move from stronger to stronger things because your teeth are stronger.
Those teeth aren't wimpy.
Yeah, so it's development. It would be development, and it would be reset all the way back to the principal thing.
That's right.
That God is what?
Good.
God gracious. Is good and gracious.
And mercy.
And it tastes good.
And that goes with foundations, because when the foundation of your life is the goodness of God, when that's what you build everything else on, when your perspective, everything that happens in your life comes through, God is good.
That's right.
God is good. God is good. Mm-hmm. God is good.
And that
regardless of what I see, regardless of what I feel, God is good.
And that's your foundation.
That helps you filter out what the devil is doing.
That's right.
You don't say stuff like sickness comes from God. Because God is what?
God is good.
Good. I like this, what you said, Dale, about the bulldog and his teeth.
Yeah.
Because that goes right to what Pastor George teaches about how bulldog faith is not wimpy.
It ain't wimpy.
You can't have wimpy teeth.
Uh-uh.
You got to have full-grown teeth. I want you to take a look at this about bulldog faith.
You can't have false teeth.
Take it with much force.
This is not for wimps.
That's right. True faith is not for wimps.
No.
But you take it with much force.
In other words, you have to have something behind that.
Yeah.
Those words.
Yeah.
And it's the word of God.
It's the word of God.
Your words that make it work. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Glory to God.
So you have to take it. You have to take your healing.
Right.
You have to take your finances. You have to take it with much force. The kingdom of heaven, Matthew says, suffers violence, and the violent take it by force.
That's right.
So we are forceful in that. We are not wimpy. We are not backward. We are not soft
about this.
We are not bashful
We're bold.
We're bold. That's what it is. It's a boldness of faith.
Because we can be bold because we have the word.
Yeah, it's backing us. He really does back us in this. And in the Greek, it also says to seize it with a grip that cannot be shaken off.
That's because you got teeth.
Wow. That's
because you got teeth.
That's good teeth. You're not wimpy, and you take it by force. You know, if you ever get an opportunity, you should look up the force of a dog bite.
Yeah.
I'm talking, there's some serious force. Listen, I want to remind you that this program involves you. You can jump in this discussion at any time. You can text us 682-302-1301 or email us at askhomegroup@govictory.com. Or if you're watching us on Facebook or on social media, you can comment right there below and we'll get your comments. And in fact, we've had a few people comment. First of all, Christina Cowwood, thank you for your comment. Her word is just maturity.
Oh, that's
the
good
word that she got out of there is just maturity. But I like this one. Someone texts this in, and there's no name, but they text this in and says this: when your opponent was winning, you press the reset button.
Yeah.
Back when you were.
That's right. That's right.
And you know that resonates with me because when I was playing video games, if it's my house, my game, my controller,
that's right.
I refuse to let. Oops, sorry.
Sorry.
My bad.
Let me just wipe this off. Oh, I just hit the reset button.
You did have a good score,
we'll start over.
But that is really good though, because when the enemy starts to win, what does the word say? When the enemy comes in like a flood, God will raise up a standard
against him.
Cynthia, have you ever had to reset something in your life because the enemy was winning
many times?
In that area?
How many? What? Which time are we talking about?
I know, right? You got to calculate them up.
There's so many times.
That's
and
good.
It goes back to my 2 weeks ago, bitter or better. You have a choice.
That's true.
So when things are going bitter, you better reset.
Yeah.
Huh.
You better
good.
Reset. And make it better.
That's good.
Because, or else it's going to go down and keep going down. So you want it to go up, you have to reset. You go like, no, devil. No, we start again.
That's right.
Maybe that was called cheating when y'all were playing with Sega Genesis back in the day, you kids.
Nintendo, the first one.
That's
Nintendo.
Right.
Well, my kids had those. Nintendo, Sega Genesis, all the... I was... Dale, we weren't in those days of that stuff.
Right.
We played real games. We played stuff outside.
But
no, I shoot a lot of pool, so whenever I strike, I take the ball out and I say, we're starting
over. Okay, so there's a way to reset. But you have to be ready, which is my word this week, ready to reset.
Mm-hmm.
You have to reset. It's a constant thing all through your life.
Yeah.
It's a constant thing. Like you said, you're going to be drinking milk while you're eating meat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you're always going to go back to some of that milk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To make sure that, you know, we still got this together.
Yeah.
You know, that's the essence of salvation, though. That Nicodemus, when he came to Jesus, John chapter 3.
Yeah.
And said, what do you do? How do you get saved? How do you inherit the kingdom?
Right.
And Jesus says, unless you're born again.
Unless you reset.
Ooh. Unless you're born again,
yes,
you cannot see the kingdom of God.
And Nicodemus,
he takes it literally, right? He goes, can a man enter into his mother's womb again and be reborn, right?
Right?
But being reborn of the Spirit is what Jesus was talking about.
Right, right.
So that therein, there's that reset. You know, another word that we've gotten from people who've watched, and thank you for sending in your words, has been the word about Thanksgiving. Or this word about this thought process about giving thanks.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing like quarantine to make you thankful for other people.
That's the truth, isn't it? That's
for other people.
Yes.
Because I remember when the first time we actually saw another person out of quarantine.
Yeah. It's like, I love you. Come here, I gotta hug you.
There's people. There's people. But Thanksgiving is a force.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
It is.
In Thanksgiving
it's a force, but it's also it's a prayer.
Yeah,
and it's a
prayer,
weapon.
Just like intercession, just like supplication.
That's true.
Thanksgiving is a prayer.
Right.
Worship is a prayer.
That's
it's
true.
It's one of the you know, Brother Hagin taught on all the different kinds of prayer,
mm-hmm.
and Thanksgiving is one.
Is that how you reset, Cynthia? Is that one way you reset?
And you know that is one way of resetting. You're giving me a hint there. Yeah. So that's one way.
He's like, I'm gonna toss this up here.
Like, you take this and see if she'll take it. Yeah, that is one way of resetting. If you just start thanking God.
That's true.
Thanking God. A situation happened in our family between, you know, last night and today, and it was kind of, almost rattling. But you go like, okay, wait a minute. Here's a choice.
Yeah.
Here's a choice. You can get upset about it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And you could start to cry.
Yeah.
Or you can say,
You said,
no.
You said no,
no
way.
You don't, devil. No, you don't. No, you don't. No, you don't.
Yeah.
No, you don't. Not here, not now, not anytime. I don't have time to cry about this.
Yeah.
Right. Wow.
I don't have time to cry about it.
Yeah.
I now need to go and get a word about it.
Amen. Yeah. Preach it.
Because I went back and looked at my son. You know, I tell you, my son is retiring from the military.
Right. Uh-huh.
And his actually official out is July. But five deployments, God gave me words.
Right.
Huh.
Psalm 35, 1 through 8. Psalm 141, 9 and 10. Psalm
words.
91.
Yeah.
Those words
were
prayed him through that time.
Right.
When Joe, 6 years ago, it's almost 6 years now,
right.
When you prayed for Joe and he had that heart attack, God gave me Philippians 4:7.
Right,
see, because you could go one way or another. You can get up there and go, I don't know what to do. Or you could go, like I did, just shut my eyes and say, okay, I need a word.
You chose the right thing, didn't you?
I chose wisely.
Brother Copeland said, quality.
It was a quality decision.
Yeah.
And it was him. It was him that I heard to know what to do.
Right.
Get still and
reset.
Say, okay, God, what?
reset.
Because you see, you have options.
Reset. Yeah.
There's always options.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You can go it this way. Right. And it might be the wrong way. And you can go this other way. It might be the wrong way.
Right.
You know, from New York, we could call somebody and get rid of you.
Yeah. We don't want to do that.
No, we're not going to do that.
That's the wrong way.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It's the wrong way. The best way is to go back to the Word and get the truth of the Word and apply it to that situation and then watch that situation.
But how does Thanksgiving work?
And then you thank God. Because God, you're good.
Once you got
you're
the
good,
word,
all, you got the word. You start thinking.
Confer no longer with flesh.
With flesh and blood.
Yeah. The Lord.
Confer no
taste
more.
It.
When I said that word, when I was laying there, when Joe had you all called me, I heard my mouth say, "Philippians, the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your heart." Keep your heart.
You had it in your heart already.
Then
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
I jumped up. Peace will keep his heart. Peace will keep his mind. Peace will keep my heart and my mind.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Father.
That's
He'll live and not die.
Yeah.
You know, you see, that's where you have to go with that.
That's where Brother Copeland, actually, I'm going to go to clip number one. Brother Copeland talks about that because absent Thanksgiving, your heart starts to get dark. And that's where you solve a lot of issues is in that arena of Thanksgiving and choosing by faith to be thankful. Take a look at this.
Yes.
In the book of Romans, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination. Their foolish heart got dark. Now, this is telling us
Thankful.
If you're not thankful, your heart will begin to get dark. This is a vital thing.
It is.
Thankfulness, being thankful. In the book of Ephesians, it says, jesting, different kinds of corrupt communication, but rather the giving of thanks.
Yes,
you can put thanksgiving in your mouth and you can change your entire being by praising God and worshiping Him.
Worship, that's
now,
it.
Listen to that now.
Praising
you can change
God.
Your entire being
by praising God and worshiping
Him. Being thankful, what is that? That's resetting.
Yeah.
That's interesting how God works. It is a weapon.
It is a weapon.
He works all of this together. We want to remind you that this program is all about you. So we want to hear your questions and your comments. You can text them 682-302-1301. You can email us at askhomegroup@govictory.com. Or if you're watching us on social media, just type a comment and we'll get them right here. Anna says, praise.
Yeah. Praise. That's right.
Praise.
It's praise.
Which
that's
is
so good.
What he was just talking about. As you begin to praise God, it resets
it does.
Your whole being.
It changes your whole being. It changes.
But you got to decide to praise the Lord.
Yes, you do.
Yes, it's all a decision.
It's a choice.
It's a choice.
Thanksgiving is a choice.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Thankfulness is a choice.
Yes, it is.
You, like you said, you've got options. You can choose to be thankful.
That's right.
Or you can choose to find something to be irritated and anxious
about. And you can always find something to be irritated
about. Right, and that's what Paul said in Philippians. He says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving.
Go down this road.
Present your requests to God.
With Thanksgiving.
With Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving, Thanksgiving has to accompany.
Anxious for nothing, but in everything. So there are there's no in-betweens in that. There's be anxious for things or but in most things with Thanksgiving. No, nothing and everything with Thanksgiving.
Clear, that is clear.
It's crystal clear. You know, I looked those words up in Greek. That word nothing means nothing. And the word everything means
everything.
Watching. I learned that in Greek. So, but everything with Thanksgiving. And that's the choice you make.
Yes,
that's the choice when anxiety comes, when fear comes, that you say, you know what? No. And my choice is Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
I say this to young adults all the time. I think it takes more energy to close your eyes and ignore the goodness of God around you than it does to just be aware of all the good things that
that's
he's put in your
that's
life.
Absolutely.
Have to consciously choose to reject the goodness of God.
That's right.
Because it's everywhere.
Here's your choice again, Stephen. We're talking about choice and resetting. Here's your choice right here. Again, it's in 1 Peter chapter 2. These are directions. You're given directions on how to reset. Here's some directions, choices you'll have to make to reset. Chapter 2, verse 1, wherefore laying aside all malice and praise the Lord, and laying aside all guile and thank the Lord.
Yeah.
And hypocrisy, lay that aside and praise the Lord.
Yeah.
And envying, go ahead and lay that aside. Decide to lay that aside
and praise
the Lord.
That's absolutely right.
And all evil speaking, lay that aside. It's real interesting that all this right in here has a lot to do with your mouth.
Yeah.
So get the taste, the envy out of your mouth and get the taste of the goodness of God in it.
That's right.
And let your words be salted with what's in your mouth, which is grace. I've tasted of the Lord. Let me tell you how good he is.
That's good.
Let's not talk about what's evil and envious and malice and all that stuff. Because, man, stinks.
Yeah, that's absolute. You know, here, Joseph, thank you so much for your text message, said this. He wrote in the word occupy.
Ooh, that's a good word, isn't it?
Occupy.
He put in
the comments, he says, who's in charge on earth anyway?
Yes.
Who's in charge?
Yes.
Me.
We were given that charge.
Yeah.
Who is man that you would give him the dominion over the works of your hands?
Make some decisions. That you're mindful of him.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That you think about him.
Care
about
that
him. Goes right along with, it may not seem like it, but it does go right along with Thanksgiving.
Yes.
When you're conscious of the goodness of God and you're thankful for the things around you, you disallow the things, other things, to take that away.
That's right.
You occupy and praise.
Of authority.
Yeah. You occupy and
I love what you said a minute ago. You said praise is on purpose.
Yes.
You got to do it on purpose. You know how on purpose it is? I've been planning this week, for those of you who are watching, this week we'll be back in church in the sanctuary. So, if you're here, if you're a part of EMIC or you're in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, this week at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m., we're back in the sanctuary for church. Obviously, we're going to be obedient to the laws of the land. And so there's some things that we have to do. So you have to go register. You can go to EMIC.org and register for either the 9 a.m. or the 11 a.m. service. But let me tell you something. I've been planning on this ever since we stopped, ever since we left, I've been meditating. How am I going to praise the Lord? We were singing right before we went on the Lift Up Your Hands in the Sanctuary.
Yes.
That's my soundtrack. Mm-hmm. I've been meditating on how
to praise the Lord.
Exactly.
The Lord.
Yes. You've got to predetermine.
Yeah.
Yeah. That you're going to praise God.
Heart. Yeah. He's predetermined a lot of stuff for us.
That's absolutely right.
Psalm 92, the New Living Translation. It is good to give thanks to the Lord,
yes,
to sing praises to the Most High. It is good to proclaim your unfailing love in the morning and your faithfulness in the evening, accompanied by a 10-stringed instrument, a harp, and a melody of a lyre.
Oh, look at that.
You thrill me, Lord, with all you have done for me.
Ooh.
I sing for joy because of what you've done. Oh, Lord, what great works you do and how deep are your thoughts. Only a simpleton would not know and only a fool would not understand this.
Yeah.
What? That sounds like somebody made up.
You know what I like about
that? I'm no dummy.
That's
a good direction.
Yeah.
It's morning and evening. I recommend that everybody do this tonight. Get you a tablet. Sit down before you go to bed and write down everything you're thankful for.
That's so good.
Mm-hmm. I write it all down. It might take you 2-3 hours to do that. At least fill up a page.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But what's it say? You sow that into your heart before you go to sleep. Mm-hmm. You go to sleep on Thanksgiving, that's sown into your heart. You wake up when? In the morning with a garden.
Yeah. Yes,
you wake up in the morning and you'll have more to thank the Lord about.
Yeah, that's right.
So that is deliberate what he told you to do.
Yes.
Deliberate.
Yeah, and I just get this sense that there would be those that would watch and say, like, I don't even know what to be. I don't know what I've got to be thankful for. Man, if you've got pulse, you've got purpose. You know,
like, oh, that's good.
God is still moving in your life, regardless of what has happened to you. God has got plans for you. And because he is a good God, when you see the goodness of God as your foundation, when you reset to that place, and that's what that divine reset is about, going back to the basics.
Yeah.
What is the basics? God is good. Mm-hmm. And when that's your lens that you see everything through, Thanksgiving just flows out of you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When that's how you see the world, you can't help but be thankful. The choice is made for you, and you're just living in it.
Phyllis,
what Dale said is really good, but sit down and write it.
Yes.
I gave that challenge to my family. We did it. I think I didn't realize it was so long ago. It was the end of 2017, and I was December, and I said, hey, everybody, I'm just issuing this challenge, and we did it on our family WhatsApp. Write down every day for 30 days what you're thankful for.
Yeah,
that's good.
Yeah. Huh.
And it was amazing at the end of the 30 days what you will not complain about.
Right, because you got your focus totally different.
Yeah.
You know, focus. We do that like a lot of families do this at Thanksgiving. You go around the table and say
what
the one
you
thing you're thankful for.
Mm-hmm.
But why is that not just what we do in
every day?
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. Let me ask you a question, Stephen. Can I ask Stephen a question?
Before you do that, I want to get to some of the comments that we've had while y'all have been talking.
Yeah.
I've been trying to get a word in edgewise. That's okay, though.
This is a home group.
This is how it works.
There's no script.
You know what?
Here.
I haven't been in a long time. I need to get back into
jump
the group.
In.
Get in there. Just jump in there. Philip writes in, divine justice.
Design justice.
Divine justice.
Divine.
We were talking about the divine and divine giving thanks and ushers in the divine. This text message said, Thanksgiving will bring a shift in the situation.
That's for sure.
Shift. Hey. I felt that shift.
Yes. Hey, and then Philip writes this in. I don't know if it's the same Philip or a different Philip, but whoever you are, Philip, thank you for your comment. Actually ask a question. He says, why do so many Christians who are strong, including elders of the church, elders from a good teaching and preaching word-based church who are believers, why do they walk in fear? They read the word, but why do they let fear dominate them?
Again, the word choice.
Yeah.
Choice.
Well,
you chose to go that way.
What happens too, you know, from a different perspective, right, is we start using our soul realm a whole lot. Mm-hmm. So your soul realm, your soul was designed to collect information, okay? It's sight, sound, touch. I want to know when I'm on fire.
Yeah.
I want to know when I'm cool. I want to know when it tastes good. I want to know when it tastes bad. So if you're a soul person, mm-hmm. then you're collecting information all the time, and your soul's not designed to come up with the right answer.
No.
It's just designed to collect information.
Collect and distribute.
It's just collecting it, and then it's trying to, then if you don't guard your heart, then that information gets into your heart, and you come up with a stupid belief.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Well,
so you're supposed to take that information that you collect from your soul, and you got to go to the Lord.
Yeah. You guard
and say,
your
what
heart.
What is the truth about this situation?
That's right.
Lord?
With the truth.
The truth.
Without faith in the truth.
Faith
I got to believe the truth. And in order for me to believe the truth, I got to know what the truth
I
is.
I got to be in the Word to know what the truth
That's
is.
That's absolutely. Man. You know, just like you said, that Word came up out of you.
Yeah.
Yes.
You can't wait till the last minute to get that word in
That's
you.
That's a treasure in
it's
her
a
heart.
Bank. It's
yes,
a treasure.
It's a treasure in that heart.
And you make a withdrawal when you need a withdrawal.
That's
just like you can't put money in right before you got to pay the bill. You got to have something there first already.
You got to be able to back it up.
I want y'all to take a look at this clip. It's Gloria Copeland talking about that very thing, protecting your heart or protection coming out of your heart, not waiting to the last minute. Take a look.
You don't need to wait until you're in a half a second, you're going to be in a car crash until you try to find out what the Bible says. You need to continually be feeding on God's protection for you so that at the moment crisis comes, I'm telling you, you don't always have time to get your Bible. And you don't always have time to call in a prayer request. You need to have that so into you of God's protection that you call out the moment that there is a need, you have words of deliverance in your mouth. Amen. Glory to God. I'm telling you, it's life and death how you keep your heart.
Ooh, I tell you what, Stephen, I thought your head was going to come loose. I heard you. I saw you over there nodding at this.
Well, out of the abundance of the heart,
the mouth
yes. speaks. And, you know, we're word people, yeah. you know, and faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. And I said this the other night. I said, at some point, it's got to go from being highlighted in your Bible to being written on your heart.
Oh, that's good. That's
because right. at that point, when you're in that moment,
right.
it comes out of you.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It's not just routine. It's not just religion.
Right.
It's the very life that I need, that when something comes along, what's on the inside of me comes mm-hmm. out. Think of a sponge. You know, you yeah. can look at a saturated sponge and not know what it's saturated with. But when you squeeze
that's
it,
right.
the,
content, saturate.
The contents are right. revealed, right. and yes. that thing is squeeze.
Yes.
What's on the inside
it's
is going to
come out.
Yeah.
It's going to come
out. The garden, the heart is in the scriptures. Jesus says, if you don't know this parable, you can't add up any of the parables.
That's absolutely right.
He says, so what's so in the heart?
That's right.
What's
right.
in the heart is going to be, is going to come out of your life.
That's right.
Have you put anything in your heart, Dale? I'm asking you, Dale, have you put anything in your heart? Well, Lord, I've been putting this. He says, well, that's why you're getting the crop you're getting, boy.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
He says, don't be surprised. You've been planting poison all
that's
these
right.
years.
The yeah. sower sows the
yeah,
word.
If yeah. I've been planting poison all these years and I'm complaining about being sick all the time because I'm eating poison.
Wow.
He's like, boy, that's the only garden you got to eat out of is the poison garden. You better.
What do you expect?
What do you expect? What
that's
do you expect?
Right.
So I have to. Renew, I have to pour into my heart.
Yeah.
You know, the best way to pour in your heart is get with the Father.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And get in the Word, and He will reveal, He'll look up the poison for me.
Mm.
And He'll say, Dale, you see that you believed all these years? Dig that up. Now, mm-hmm. here's the true belief that comes from me.
That's good.
Sow that in there.
That's good. Till
you know it like you know 2 + 2 = 4, boy.
That's good.
Wow. Wow.
That's
you
so
know,
good.
You know, the interesting thing about that, you just talk about reset, and this all came out of your word, and
this
we want to hear more of your comments, more of your words. You can text us. You can text your questions. You can text, let's see, hang on a second. I want to make sure I don't give the wrong phone number, 682-302-13. I got the prayer number in my head.
I know.
682-302-1301. You
That's
can
true.
Text that number and send in your questions or your comments. And these words that we're talking about came from you. Or you can send us an email, govictory. Hang on, y'all help me now.
Ask Home Group.
Ask Home
Group.
govictory.com. Thank you. This is live TV. That's why we're here to get some help. You can also comment. If you're watching us on social media, you can comment right there below wherever you're watching, and we'll get those comments just like some people have already sent some in. We had a text message question. It says, how can a person who was laid off because of fear of the pandemic, how can they renew their heart or reset?
So first thing, Romans 12:2, to renew your mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the first thing. You renew your mind. If you look at what's happening in the natural, and I understand it's hard not to see what's right there
right.
Yeah.
in front of you.
Right.
I lost my job. I still have bills to pay. I still have a place to I have to live. And yeah, they're gonna forgive me for a while, but I'm gonna still have to catch up. Or we look at the covenant God we have.
Yes.
And say, God, you knew about this coming before it got here. You knew
wow.
I wasn't going to have a job.
Yeah.
And you thrill me with all you've done for
right.
me.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You thrill me. And when you keep praising him,
yeah.
uh-huh. well, he is going to come. He has
good.
To come through for you.
That's
he's
right.
your covenant God.
That's what
he's
he does.
Not going
yeah.
to leave you.
Yeah.
But
right.
how you get left and how a lot of people get left is because you start to do the Peter. And he saw the wind was boisterous.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he looked at it and beginning to sink. Yeah. Then he cried out.
Right.
But the wind was boisterous before he got out the boat.
Yeah.
That's true.
It was already. It
That's
didn't get
true.
Boisterous when
That's
he got
true.
Out.
But he responded to the word. Jesus said, come. His faith came when the word came. And so Peter had the faith to walk on water because he had the word of the Lord to respond to.
That's right.
So respond to the word.
Yes.
That's right. Respond to the word.
And when you do, then don't take your eyes off the word.
Right. Because that's what happened to Peter.
That's real,
took
that's
his eyes
real
off of
wisdom.
It.
Yes. And
that's
wisdom.
That's the truth of real wisdom is not responding to what you see, not responding to what you hear, not responding because it's convenient, because it tickles your senses, but actually responding to the word of God. That's wisdom.
I was reading that the other day, and the Lord stopped me. He said, I'm going to teach you a little bit different about that scripture. He said, you know, you're always taught about Peter kept his eyes on Jesus and Peter kept his eyes on the word and thing. He said, I want to ask you a question. He said, who did Jesus have his eyes on? And so I went, I was reading it. It said, Jesus just left from prayer. He was spending time with the Father before he got into a tough situation. So when he came out on the water, Jesus was walking on the water too. Jesus was walking on the water too because he got a word from the Father. He said, I don't do anything and I don't say anything. So obviously the Father said, Jesus may have said, you know, the boys are out in the middle of the lake. He said, that's all right. Walk out there.
That's right.
So Jesus is our example.
And he's a man, Dale.
He's a man.
He's a man.
Exactly. Led by the Holy, with the power of the Holy Spirit
filled
on him
right.
and directed by the Father.
Right.
So if he's our example, I need to be spending time with the Father so that when a situation comes up, people can go, hey, Dale's walking on the water. I wonder why he's walking on the water.
Yeah.
It's because I've been spending time with the Father, right? So I would say in your situation, spend time with the Father. That's when I was laid off one time, I was looking at a house that was halfway built that I was building. And I was, it was moving out of an apartment, living in a house that had no walls. It was two befores. And I'm talking to the Lord. I said, Lord, this is what I've got here. I'm laid off this, and this. And this is the problem because this had happened to them. You know what he said to me? Now I'm going to say this to you about me. He said to me, he said, who are you? I was talking about the problem. But he wanted to direct a focus on me. He said, Dale, who are you? And I said, I'm this, and I'm this. He said, then act like it, son.
That's good.
So you're going to have to come to some cold, hard beliefs based on the word about who you are. See yourself as having a job. Say, stop saying I don't have a job. Say, this is who I am.
Best
I got
job.
The best job in town.
I'm the employee of the Lord.
I love you. You got the best job on town.
Come on.
Because the Lord said that to you. Go ahead and walk on water.
That's right. You know, there's so much revelation that came from that. We're getting so many comments. We got a comment that says, I love watching Home Group. I learned so much. Keep up the good work. Somebody texts in, their word is mercy.
Mercy.
But there's another person. This is interesting. Their word is declare. Declare. Yeah, because what we're talking about, you know, Jesus is a man when he's walking on water. A lot of times we make it out to be as though he had been glorified already.
Right. Or as though it was
beyond the cross.
He's
just as much as a man
as we are.
As Peter was.
Those people who were in the boat.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He's just as much
but
as
they, man. He did something different, didn't he?
But he was walking on wisdom that he had already gotten from the Father. And you know, that's our job as Christians is to make the wisdom of God known. Sister Gloria and Billy Brim talk about making the manifold wisdom of God known. Take a look at this.
This is chapter 3, verse 10 of Ephesians. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in the heavenly places might be known through the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, this says that right now He has introduced us in there, and He wants us to make known to those principalities and powers in the heavens and those little demons running around here on earth, it's our job to make known to them what? The manifold wisdom of God. He wants us, the head wants us, to take authority here on the earth over these critters, you might say, evil critters.
Evil
that,
critters.
That is so awesome because she, listen to what she says. It's our job to make the manifold wisdom of God known to principalities and powers, to those who would come. This goes right back to what the what this person sent in at the beginning. When your opponent is winning,
hit the reset
button. The reset button. What's the reset button? You make the manifest, the manifold wisdom of God known to principalities and powers. Hey, y'all, you little demons. You low-level devils.
I like that.
Y'all don't realize I win.
Who, and who has been made known unto us all wisdom?
That Jesus.
Jesus.
Jesus Christ.
So we make Jesus known.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what sends little critters
fleeing
back to where they came
from. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world.
Yeah, greater is he that is in you looking for a job. Greater is he that is in you.
If you're watching this, greater is he that is in you. I love this. Somebody sent this text message and says, the show tonight is a blessing. It's blessing me so much. I was almost in tears this evening, feeling stressed and upset and not even knowing why. But when this show came on, you guys gave me a shot in the arm that I needed. Love you guys.
Praise God.
And thank you so much. But you know what that shot is? It's the word.
Yeah.
The word.
It's the word of God. Mm-hmm. It's the word of God. It seems like we always get comments right at the end. We've got about 12 more minutes.
I want to touch on something right before we leave right here. We've got 10 minutes, but we brought up that word principality.
Yeah.
So I was always interested in that. So I study words out in Scripture word by word. I go to the, you know, so it was real interesting. In principality, that word is called, is principle.
Huh.
And that word means beginnings.
Yeah.
He's far above all beginnings. He's before all beginnings.
Right.
So does that sound like he's even before the reset?
Yeah.
You can go all the way. He said, I'm above every beginning.
Well, you can't reset any further past than any further back than
exactly.
him.
Exactly. Yeah. He's higher than the reset.
Yeah.
Or he's higher than, I would say it this way. You know, I began this, we'll just go to the worst possible situation, let's say sickness. I remember when I began to get sick. He's far above
the principality of
that
sickness.
Beginning. Yeah. He's a far above that beginning. He's far above cancer. He's far above you losing a job. He's far above every beginning because he's before the beginning.
Yeah.
And he is after the end.
That's right.
He and,
and you know what?
Hey, and that's he knows everything
that's
in the middle.
That's a word for COVID-19. He was before and he's after.
The beginning of all that
and
stuff.
And there is
that's
an after.
Right.
I
and
like
there
that.
Is an after.
There is an after.
And that's that Hank Kuhneman word that he talked about. The stadiums being filled for the glory of God. And that's the after. That's what we're moving towards right now is the after. The divine reset
we
produces
cannot,
a better version
that's right.
than what we started
we
with.
We cannot look at our you current situation
now.
And go,
come on.
This is the way the world's going to be from now
no,
on.
No.
This, we can't. We can't afford that. Because here and here's the thing. I was just thinking about this whole job thing.
Yeah.
The issue is sometimes we're afraid of change. I lost my job. I was comfortable in that job, but now there's change coming. But here's but God knew about the change
he
before
did.
The change became a thing.
Yeah.
So you can't wait on the change. I really want to get to this clip. I'm trying. I'm
wait,
setting
wait,
up
one
this
second
clip
before you get to
before
the clip.
Go to the clip.
Because
go ahead.
You go back to the Great Depression.
Okay.
Which none of us were around for, but my parents were.
Yeah.
Go back to the Great Depression. What happened with people? Some jumped out of windows.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Some stood on the street and sold apples.
Yeah.
Others made fortunes.
Yeah, that's right.
Because it depended on how you thought about it.
The
it
choice
was
the you made.
They
the
were using.
You,
because look at people right now. If you're in the sign business right now, you got more business than you know what to do with.
Oh yeah, that's
6 feet apart. That's all the all,
you food
go,
delivery.
You go in the store
all time,
and there's this aisle go up, this aisle come down, this aisle. Nobody's paying attention to it, but all of that. But see, to certain things. And I heard a woman a couple 2 weeks ago getting my nails done for the first time after all this time.
So, praise God.
Yeah, you know. But I heard her somebody the lady doing her nails said, "How's your business?" And she said, "It's tripled."
Yeah.
She had to hire people.
Right.
Wow. So somebody who's lost their job, somebody's business is needing
people.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
You got to go. Don't think there's nothing else to
that's
do.
That's right.
You're right. There's a reset from what they were doing. There may be something else to do.
To a better.
Else to
do.
What is that? That's that's change. Yeah. It is transforming. Companies that were making transmissions are now making ventilators.
Right.
Yeah.
Companies
right.
that were making T-shirts are now making masks.
Yeah. See the opportunity.
Yeah. It is. It's opportunity. And you cannot wait for change. This is what Jesse says. You can't wait for change to change you. I want to play this clip. This is from Jesse Duplantis talking about change. Watch this.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you're waiting for change to come, you got a problem on your hand. Job had a lot of problems because usually who will show up is three people that will look at you for 7 days, not say a word. And finally, when they open up their mouth, they say, what you did wrong? And he's thinking, I don't know what I did wrong. I don't think I did anything wrong. I don't know. See, he's waiting for change. Write this down. Don't wait for change to change you. You'll be behind the curve instead of ahead of it. I never wait for change to change me, because if you do, you're always behind instead of ahead. See, change, the only thing that never changes. So I realize something, ladies and gentlemen, that we must be constantly, even though you're all anointed of God, you got to be constantly aware that God never changes, but people do. And times change. So you have to learn to flow. One of the saddest situations I get myself into when I preach all over the world. I'll go preach at a church, and this is what they'll say to me. You seen this church? This was the biggest church in this area 30 years ago, 20 years ago. It was powerful. It was the going church. And now it doesn't have that much. Then I realized something. The reason why the church went down instead of growing constantly is because they didn't go with change. The thing that never changes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let me tell you, that's a powerful, powerful word. Yes. Even the Word of God talks about us changing. Yeah. It says that we shall not all sleep, but we will all be
changed
in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. So your design is to change.
Yeah. Yes.
Now, God doesn't, that's why God needs people in the earth. Yeah. God is constant. He never changes.
Yeah.
But you're in the earth manifesting that wisdom of God, the will of God, the perfect will of God. He needs you to change. He needs you to be able to shift with situations so that you can show and demonstrate
the mysteries of God.
He needs you to not get so comfortable in the present glory that you're able to change and move to the greater glory,
always
to the next glory.
He's moving you from glory to glory.
That's absolutely right.
But we can get so stuck in the comfort zone of how things are. I like things the way they are. I like my church the way it is. I like my life the way it is. I like my job the way it is.
You don't get bored.
But God's ready. You know what? I'm the kind of person that
like change.
Let's rearrange the furniture.
Yeah,
let's do this. I'm embracing change because I see it as that's the next level. Let's go to the next level.
Right.
And I'm telling you, that's a divine reset. We're going back to church this Sunday, and there's going to be a greater level of glory. That's what Hank Kuhneman said. And it's going to be because we had a divine reset that the change comes forward, and we're at a new level.
That's right.
We're at a new level of glory.
Here's scripture to use with change. He says that I've given you all things.
That's right.
At all times.
That's right.
In every situation that pertains to life and godliness. I don't care if they throw you a curve, you can hit it.
That's right.
Right? Because I've given you all things to handle every situation at all times. So you sound like you're well prepared because God has made a promise.
That's right.
God's made a promise to you that He's given you all things. So concerning your jobs, consider your change. He's providing change for you.
You know, Cynthia, we've got about just over five more minutes, there may be somebody watching us who would say, change provokes anxiety in me. I'm uncomfortable with changing. And it scares them. Let's just be honest about the thing. It scares them. Mm-hmm. What do you say to somebody like that?
So first, you just acknowledge, you know what? Change can be scary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't deny that things can be scary. Doing something different is scary. But are you going to let it scare you into your same spot that you can't move from?
Paralyzed.
Or are you going to say that, oh, my goodness, I just heard this from Bill Winston, God will drop the skill on you and the intelligence on you to do something different.
Yeah, let's go.
And
be the best at it.
Make you the best at it. And you just reminded me of a scripture. I don't know if I'm going to find it in time.
Be the best at it.
The best at it that the world has never seen.
Oh, that's be surprised to them.
You'll be surprised and the world will be surprised. Sometimes you get into that, and like you said, because of necessity.
Yeah.
But what happened when we went from records to 8-tracks?
Right.
Y'all, some of y'all know about that.
Oh,
and eight tracks to cassettes, mm-hmm. and cassettes to CDs, mm-hmm. and yeah. CDs. These were all companies who were doing these things, right. and it was never right. going to change. Right. They had to roll with what Brother Jesse said. Mm. They had to come up and make change.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God's a God.
And the change is yeah. always, it's always a wrench in yeah. here. It's always a, woof. I've never done yeah. that before. And you start to get those feelings of inadequacy. But who's going to make you feel adequate? Nobody but the Word. Nobody That's but it. God. The Holy, mm-hmm. the Holy right. Spirit.
Right. The Holy Spirit.
It was your two words.
That's my word. I didn't even get a chance to get to it. I'm glad we brought it back around.
But that's what you're going to do. You're going to do what the Lord said to do. You're going to hear what the Lord says. And then you're going to go ahead and do it. And trusting in Him.
Right. Amen.
Because we're so trusting in ourselves because we become so used to doing
That's a problem that something. We do. Yeah. We think that we compare ourselves and we forget who we are. So we're made just like God, correct? Are we not made in His image?
We're made in His image.
We
That's
are. Right. And He's a God of foresight. He's a God that sees ahead, mm-hmm. correct?
Yes.
That's right.
So we can say, well, change is coming, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Because I see ahead. I have long distance viewing.
That's I'm absolutely mature. Right. Dale, I wanted you to hold that thought because I want to make sure that that answer goes to Isabel. Isabel, thank you so much for texting us your question. She says, how can we guard our hearts and avoid falling into the trap of subtle disobedience and not having to wait for the next pandemic? So how can we reset ourselves and not just constantly be on God or say, what's next? Or what's the next pandemic? What's the next
this
thing?
Is,
but that's
this,
what you just said.
Right.
You
this is, this is how the Lord reset me years ago when we were going through all the wars years ago. I said,
got 2 minutes.
I said, Lord, I said, man, I'm freaking out. We got wars on every side. Mm-hmm. He said, well, you're seeing my word come true. I said, I'm seeing your word come true. He said, yeah. I told you that 10,000 fall at your right and 100,000 fall at your left. He said, I told you, you would see that, but it won't come nigh you. So he totally reset me and put me in a new light.
Yeah.
He said, you'll be the one that sees it, but not the one that experiences it.
Yeah. That's
All cool. right. He says, you're not the guy that falls.
That's right.
You're the guy that sees them fall.
Yeah.
So you walk in it relieved all anxiety
Released
off
you,
of me.
Yeah.
I was like,
glory to God.
Well, it doesn't surprise me they're dead. Well,
it doesn't surprise me they're dead. That's the word of God coming true.
Praise. It put me in a whole different mindset.
God, praise God. Yeah. Well, listen. Well, we've got about a minute and a half left. I want to thank you so much for joining us today on Home Group. So many of you have sent in comments about how this program blesses you, how this change, reset, all of these words that we've been talked about. But I want to just remind you of this. Words carry faith.
Yes.
Words carry faith, and your words matter. So whatever your word is, whatever the word that God has given you, that word is power-packed with the power of God.
Yes, it
Release
is.
Those words according to the word of God, and you'll see change in your life. Want to let you know about church this coming Sunday. We're back in the sanctuary, 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Make sure that you go and register at emic.org. Also, tomorrow starts our virtual victory campaign. We would normally be in Detroit, but we're having a virtual victory campaign right here. Those virtual victory campaigns. You want to find a word?
That's yes,
right.
That's
tune
the
into the virtual
Come
victory
on.
Campaign.
That's There'll be a word.
You'll have
word
several words.
Wall to wall.
So we look forward to ministering the word to you, but we want you to know how much we love you and how we're committed to you growing in faith. We love you.
Yes.
God loves you.
Love you.
And let's say it together.
Jesus is Lord.
We'll see
that
you soon.
Is the truth.
Yeah.
Those words matter, so release the word of God.
Woo.